Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The New Covenant. A lot of people don't know about the New Covenant, what's contained in it, what kind of covenant it is. Here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31, it says, "Behold, the days come." I must say we're in those days right now. "Behold, the days come." We've been in them. "Saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." Everybody say new covenant. New covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. It'd be a different covenant when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. So he announces that he was going to make a new covenant that would be different from the old covenant. Okay? Now let's look a little bit at the old covenant, because I need to lay this foundation, and then we're going to roll off of it, and then we're going to get to, I'm going to tell you about the outline. I'm excited this morning about this message. And if you can see the truth of the new covenant, you can see how a person's saved. And you can see some great doctrinal truths in this message today. If you just understand what the new covenant is. Too many people are saved today that don't understand the new covenant. And that's the covenant that they're under. They know they're under the new covenant. They don't know anything about the new covenant. So that's what I'm going to give you today. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's look a little bit at these passages of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's talk a little bit about the Old Covenant. Your Bible is divided into two sections. You know what they are? Old Testament, New Testament. That's Old Covenant, New Covenant. Okay? Let's look at what the Old Covenant was basically here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 10. "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach them to their children. And you came near unto the mountain," that's Mount Sinai, "and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his" what? He declared his covenant, "which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone." Now, basically, what the old covenant was, and he's made these for us for Bible school one year. What you're looking at in the Ten Commandments, that was basically what the Old Covenant was based on. They were based on the Ten Commandments. It was a covenant of laws, covenant of commandments, covenant of statutes. Now, what God said to the nation of Israel, he said, "Now, if you will obey me, and you'll keep my words, and you'll keep my covenant, then I will bless you as a nation. I'll cause your crops to grow. I'll cause the rain to fall. I'll not bring on you any of the diseases that was brought upon the Egyptians." He promised great blessings to them as a nation if they would keep the what? Keep the covenant. Right. Now, the old covenant then was a what you would call a conditional covenant. It was conditioned upon the obedience of the people. What kind of covenant was it again? God said he would do these things if you do this. You see, it was a conditional covenant based upon them obeying the commandments. To further enforce that the Ten Commandments was the old covenant, they took the tables. Of course, he broke the first one. But the second table of the stones that Moses made, they put them into the ark. You remember? And they called it, what's the ark called? The ark of the what? The ark of the covenant. That's why it's called the ark of the covenant, because they contained the tables of stone that had the law wrote on them. So here's the agreement that they made. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. And by the way, we're studying through the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday night. If you want to, boy, you talk about a great study, this is going to be. Can hardly wait for Wednesday night to teach you Deuteronomy. You come, we're still in chapter 1, probably will be for the next year. You come, and we're going to continue through the book of Deuteronomy. You want to study through a great book. It's a fantastic book, some of the most eloquent words ever written in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy 5, we understand what the old covenant was. Now, watch the people agree to it. They're at the base of Mount Sinai. Notice what it says. Go thou near, they're talking to Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it, and we will what? Ask their agreement. They say all that God says and tells us to do, not only will we hear it, but what else do they say? We'll do it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Let me go ahead and read the rest of it. And Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. You know, folks, the people agreed. God offered a covenant. The people agreed to obey the covenant. But I'm going to be honest with you. Before he ever got down off the mountain with the first tables of stone, they had already broken it. God knew they wouldn't keep it. And they, the history of Israel, they broke that covenant over and over and God was merciful. They broke it over and over again. And God would bring in an invader because of it, and God would chase them for it. They would look back to God. He would renew the covenant. They'd continue for a while. They'd break the covenant. Because it was what kind of covenant? Conditioned on their obedience. That was the old covenant. That's what it was. And it wasn't in the heart of the people. It was on tables of stone, but it wasn't in their hearts. And God knew it wasn't. He said, oh, if they had such a heart to obey me. But they didn't. They didn't have. You know, to get people to obey the word, you got to change their hearts. Hey, you got to change their hearts. If you want people to be obedient, that's the difference between religion and the Lord's church. Religion tries to take a sinner and reform a sinner from the outside in. And all you get when you do that is a reformed sinner. You got to change a sinner from the inside out. You change him on the inside, then the outside will come. You got to have a heart for it, and that's what the Lord does. So this old covenant would be vastly different. That's what he told us in Jeremiah 31, which I'm going to ask you to turn back to. That's what he told us, is that this new covenant would be different than the old covenant. And I'm going to tell you right now, before we go any farther, one of the greatest religious problems today is people don't understand the difference between the old and new covenant. They're trying to make the new covenant like the old covenant. And they don't realize that they're two different covenants. And I'm going to show you today in this message, I hope I can get done. If I can't, I want you to get every drop of this. If I have to quit and do her next week, we'll do that. But this is one of the most important messages that you'll ever hear, and one of the most important messages I ever preached. One of the great problems today is people do not understand the new covenant. The old covenant was a covenant of the law. The new covenant is different. We'll show you three things. I'm going to show you how it's different from the old. The nation would be different under the new covenant. The people would be different under the new covenant. And number three, the covenant itself by nature is vastly different than the old. Now, to keep it simple, I'm just going to give you two reasons why the nation will be different. It's two instances. Two, why the people will be different. Two, how the covenant is different. Just two on each point. I was going to write them down, but it just took me too long to write them, so I just didn't do it. I just wrote the main points down. Does everybody see what we're doing? Under the new covenant, first of all, the nation would be different. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm going to show you what's the difference about the nation. And by the nation, we're talking about Israel. You see, the covenant is with Israel. Look at verse 31. Behold, the days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of who? house of Israel. It's not going to be like the old one. It's going to be a new one. Now, here's how the nation's going to be different. Look down in the same passage to verse 34. Here's how the nation's going to be different. They shall not teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. Now, I want you all to repeat that with me. Now, I'm going to say, you ready? They all shall know me. Let's say that one more time together. They all shall know me. Now, that's different than under the old covenant. Under the old covenant in Israel, they all didn't know him. Now, they got the benefit from the blessings of being part of the nation. But we just noticed this past Wednesday night in the book of Deuteronomy, many of that generation that came up out of Egypt, that went through the Red Sea, many of those people were lost. They seen all 10 plagues. They seen the Red Sea parted. They partook of the manna. But the book of Hebrews 3 said, yet in many of those people dwelt an evil heart of unbelief. There was many unsaved people in Israel under the old covenant. They got the blessings of being a part of the nation. But nevertheless, many of those didn't have a changed heart. And if you don't have a changed heart, you truly don't know God. And they didn't know God that way. Their heart wasn't changed. That would be vastly different under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, everyone in Israel knows God. Under the new covenant, everyone in Israel knows God. None of them's lost. I just blowed your mind, didn't I? Turn to Romans 11. I'm going to show you how this is so. I'm so excited. I was ready to preach yesterday morning. Nobody listened. Romans 11. Now, I'm going to explain a lot of Romans 11 without having to read it all because, for sake of time. So I'll break it down for you. Okay? In Romans 11, you have a picture of Israel, and Israel is pictured as an olive tree. Everybody say olive tree. That's what Israel under the new covenant is presented in Romans 11. And this tree of Israel, what's this tree called? This tree of Israel is likened to an olive tree. Okay? Now watch what happens here on this olive tree. Notice in Romans chapter 11, let's begin. Let me get the right passages down. Let's begin in verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them with them, and partakest of the root and the fullness of the olive tree, boast not thyself against the branches, but if thou boast, thy bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou stands by what? Thou stand by what? You stand by faith. Be not high-minded. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now watch this. What thing makes a scary noise when wind blows, don't it? Okay? This olive tree is called Israel. Okay? Now, under the new covenant, the unbelieving branches that were part of Israel, what happened to those unbelieving branches? What did they happen to them? Poof, they were broken off. Okay? What did that leave in the tree? It left just believing branches. In other words, what this olive tree is called Israel, and if you break off unto all the unbelieving branches, the only thing that's left there is believing branches. Now, the blessing for you is, it talks about the Gentiles being a wild olive tree, and by birth, every one of us here this morning is Gentiles by birth. And you know what he did under the new covenant? When you put faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, he took and he grafted you in this olive tree. Lord done a graft. And as a matter of fact, we just read, it says, you stand by. He put you in. When you put faith in the Messiah, he put you in their olive tree. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so if he put you in by faith, What does that mean, every branch on this tree called Israel is? Everyone in there is a believer. All of Israel is saved. Under the new covenant, which Jesus instituted when he died on the cross, it went into effect when Jesus died on the cross. Unlike the old covenant, there's no unbelieving in Israel under the new covenant. Just believing. All the old unbelieving branches were broken off. Only believing Jews is in Israel. And only believing Gentiles is in Israel. You want to know a little secret? It was a secret. It's not a secret anymore. You want to know a little mystery? When God looks down from heaven today, do you know who Israel is? Israel's all the saved. Anyone by faith that has trusted the Messiah, and I would just absolutely love to prove that to you from Scripture if you'll listen to me. Who is the Jew today in the sight of God? Who is the child of Abraham today in the sight of God? Who is the child of Abraham today in his sight? Who is the circumcision in his sight? Would you like me to share it with you? Look at Romans chapter 2. I'll show it to you. Now, I'm telling you one thing. If you're here today and you're a saved Gentile, if this don't fire you up, nothing will. This absolutely excites me to no end. I who am a Gentile, listen to what I'm saying. I who am a Gentile by physical birth am a Jew by new birth. And I've been granted full citizenship into Israel. Full citizenship. So have you. Romans chapter 2. Let's see if that's what the Bible teaches under the new covenant. Verse 28 says, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Does everybody see that? He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is he is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one where? Inwardly. And the circumcision is that is the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter. Stop. I'm a Jew inwardly. I'm a Jew by new birth. And I've been grafted into the olive tree of Israel with the right of full citizenship. And that's a wonderful thing for somebody like us. He brought the Gentile in under the new covenant. The Gentile was excluded under the old covenant. They could come in and worship, but they weren't granted full citizenship. There was a middle wall that separated them from even going as far as the Jews could go in the house of God. All of that is taken away under the new covenant. You're a Jew spiritually. And I'm a part of Israel today. Book of Philippians chapter 3. I could quote these, but probably better you look at them. And then you write them down. If you can't find them again, like in Sunday school, if you can't find them, look at them. Philippians 3:3. If you make notes in your Bible, it's not a sin to do that. Be honest with you. If you make notes in your Bible, you draw a little error out from this, Philippians 3:3, and write the true Jew. It defines it for you. Regardless of birth, this is the true Jew. Now, it gives you three characteristics, and I've preached on. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you're a true Jew. You're grafted in Israel. You're built upon the foundation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? You're with me? Now, look at Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision. Now, the circumcision was another name in the Old Testament for the Jew. The circumcision. They would refer to themselves as the circumcision. They would refer to the Gentile as the uncircumcision. You remember when David went to fight against Goliath, or he heard Goliath speaking evil against Israel, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? Remember that? So the Gentiles was called the uncircumcision. The Jews were referred to as the circumcision. So when it says we are the circumcision, it's saying we are the Jews. And it gives you three characteristics of a true Jew. We are the circumcision which worship God in the what? Worship means you worship Him from your heart. We rejoice in Messiah Jesus is the second characteristic of a true Jew. They rejoice in who? They rejoice in Messiah Jesus. He's their boast. Now look at number 3. Now this separates. And have no confidence in the what? In your flesh. My confidence of heaven is not in my flesh,
my confidence of heaven is in my Messiah.
You see the difference between the two? If I ask someone, are they saved, I can tell whether they're a true Jew or not. If I say, are you saved? And they say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. And everything they say is about something they've done in their flesh. You can guarantee you they don't know what the new birth is. A true Jew rejoices in Messiah Jesus and don't have no confidence in my flesh. I'm not going to heaven because of anything in my flesh. I'm going to heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And my sole boast of heaven is Jesus Christ. All God's people said. And that's a true Jew. That's what a true Jew is. Galatians chapter 3. Show you one more and we'll roll on. Man, I'm going to have to preach two messages out of this. I'm still on number one and we're fast rolling away. Man. Hey, this is important what I'm saying this morning. If you can learn the new covenant, I'd die a happy man if I'd go tomorrow. If you'd learn it. If you know what the new covenant is, you can understand a lot of things. Can I ask you a question? How was the Gentiles grafted in Israel? It says they stood by what? They stand by faith. Faith in the Messiah. There's no confidence in their flesh. It's in the Messiah. Galatians chapter 3. Now look at here now. Galatians chapter 3 verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God. Who believed God? He was the father of the Jewish nation. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Did you realize I'm not only I'm the child of Roosevelt and Ruth by physical birth, but by spiritual birth, I'm a child of Abraham because in the eyes of God, I'm a Jew. And I've been grafted in the olive tree of Israel. I'm a Jew by new birth. And I rejoice in that. I'm not done. Verse 8. And the Scripture foreseeth that God would justify the heathen through faith. He'd justify the heathen. Who's the heathen? That's us. The heathen is the Gentiles. He would justify the heathen. How? Through faith. Faith in who? Faith always has an object. Who's the object of our faith? Jesus. Messiah Jesus. What He did on the cross. God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 29 of Galatians 3 says, if you be Christ, if you belong to Jesus, then you're Abraham's seed. Ruth and Masters, this says that if you by faith trusted Jesus as your Abraham's seed, a descendant of Abraham. It says that in Romans 2, if you've had this inward change, that you're a Jew, if you've been born again, that you're a Jew inwardly. And it says in Philippians 3 that the true circumcision is those that rejoice in Messiah Jesus and don't have any confidence in the flesh. So based on that, under the new covenant, Gentiles by new birth are grafted in and made Jews. Think about it. Spiritually. The difference between the old and the new covenant, how the nation is different, is that under the new covenant, all Israel saved. Because the only ones in the tree are those that have believed. What happened to all the unbelieving? They're not there. That wasn't true under the old covenant, but brother, it sure is under the new. Oh, I don't want to get off on this. I'm not going to get off on it, but while this is open and laying here, I'm going to lay something down for you here. The new covenant teaches that all believers are Jews. That's what it teaches. All of them. By new birth and being grafted in. It tells you that over and over again. What would you call a descendant of Abraham? The seed of Abraham. Calls you Jews. Now think just for a minute. In the world today, where's all the believers at? Are they just here in Elizabeth Baptist Church? They're scattered across the whole world. There's true Jews in Japan and in India and in Kenya and in Russia. Would you all agree?
Do you know there's going to come a day when God is going to regather again Israel? And you know, everybody says that God regathered Israel in 1948. That's not Israel. Israel, under the new covenant, is all believers. You know when God's going to regather again Israel? The trumpet of God will sound, and all of Israel will be gathered. Matthew 24:30-31 says that He will send forth His angels, and He will gather together His elect from the four corners of the earth. That's the regathering of Israel. You know what else the Old Testament prophets teach? When Israel's regathered, He's going to take him to a land where there will be no sorrow, there will be no sickness, there will be no death, there will be no suffering. I don't know about you, but that didn't happen in 1948. But that will happen when King Jesus comes and gathers His people. All God's people say it. That's the new covenant. You say, well, there's two Israels. Is there? It's like saying there's two different churches, a universal one and a local one. One church. There's one Israel under the new covenant. It's all the same. And guess what? Is God still saving physical Jews by birth? He sure is. We support Jewish missions. Crying out loud, we're trying to pay back the favor. They brought the Gentile the gospel. We're seeking to bring the gospel back to them. And the Holy Spirit takes that message and convicts the heart to them, and He grafts them right back into, He puts them right back in the olive tree. Now turn to Ephesians 2. I'm only going to get one point done, and I wanted to preach just so bad I could taste it. You'll have to come back for it. And I can't do it tonight because I promised everybody I'd deal with the questions. Two Israels is like saying two churches. By nature. Only one. How many times have you, well, the Jews are blinded today, so is the Gentiles. Anybody unsaved, blinded. But He can open your eyes. That's why you saw. He can open theirs too. The problem is, in this dispensational view that people's held for the past 100 years, Jews are considered unsavable. They're not unsavable. They need to hear the gospel the same as you. And He says He's able to graft them. He's able to put them back in their own tree. Never understood this, have you? Never understood this. Jesus comes again, and He takes us out of this earth. Where does He take us to? What's another word for heaven in the book of Revelation 21? Does anybody know? I'm waiting on it. Someone yell it out. Paradise, that's not what I'm looking for. It is right. Huh? Zion. We sing a song all the time. I'm marching to where? I'm marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. I'm marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Man, that's the real thing. Earthly Jerusalem was just a type. It was just a type. The real things. We forgot about heaven. Can you imagine the Lord taking, when He regathers Israel, He's taking them to New Jerusalem. I don't know about you, Brother John Moore. I'm not going to want to leave New Jerusalem and go live over in the Middle East for 1,000 years. Why would I want to leave the real thing and go back and live in the type? That's why I always had a problem with that dispensational view, just for that reason. Man, we're going to the real thing. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and He's going to bring New Jerusalem down. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ forever. But you know what? You've got to be a Jew first to be a part of this nation called Israel. And the only way you can get in is by faith. Faith in the Messiah. Okay, Gentiles. Ephesians 2, listen to this. It says the same thing that I just got through saying. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I know when a preacher reads, a lot of times you lose him. But if you'll watch what this says, this will bless your heart. This is just what I've said in a nutshell. Now watch what it says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye in time past were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by them which are called circumcision in the flesh made with hands.
that ye at that time were without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way the Gentile was under the old covenant. They were aliens, foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. The blessings of God were upon the nation of Israel. And the Gentile was on the outside looking in, basically, under the old covenant. But Jimmy Dye, that's not true under the new. It's not true under the new. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, everybody say that. But now it's different. In Christ Jesus, which is what the new covenant is based on, ye that were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Both Jew and Gentile, Timmy's been made what? Or we're one. How's he made us both one? He's grafted us in the same tree. John 10, Jesus predicted it in John 10 when he said, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Not no more twofold. Jew and Gentile would be what? One. One in Christ, grafted in the same tree. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down that middle wall, our partition between us. Now, to understand that middle wall, you've got to understand the temple. There was a wall, I can't remember the height, just say 3 foot. There was in the Gentiles, there was a court of the, in the temple, there was a court of the Gentiles. And you couldn't pass that. No Gentile could pass that middle wall at the temple by order of death. So you could just go so far. You could worship at the temple, but you was a second class citizen. See? It says in Christ, he's broken down that partition. He's kicked it down. It's not there anymore. He's made us both one. In Christ. We're all part of the same tree. Now, you understand that again when I keep saying we're all part of the same tree? Now, listen now. Verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you, which were afar off, that's the Gentile. And to them which were near, that's the Jew. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now verse 19 pumps me up. I could shout, but I'll hold her back. I want you to look what verse 19 says. And now, therefore, we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All God's people said, not second class citizens no more. He's made us a part of the nation. He's made us a part of the kingdom. Messiah Jesus is also our Messiah. And Jesus predicted in the parables when he said, many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the new covenant. Nation's going to be vastly different. All the nation would be saved under the new covenant, and the Gentile would be brought in and made a part of the nation, granted full citizenship. Oh, God's people said, that's a different nation. You see, the nation's different than it was under the old covenant in the new. I'm going to verse, can I go to the second one? I'll have Neely pay you if you'll just give me a few minutes to do this. The people's going to be different under the new covenant too. Vastly different than under the old. Under the new, Israel's different. Does everybody see how? But under the new, the people's going to be different. Let's turn back to Jeremiah 31. I'm going to tell you, in the past 3 years, past 5 years, one of the greatest blessings that God's revealed unto me is who Israel is. That's been one of my greatest blessings.
to be think that me, who a Gentile by birth, could be made a Jew by new birth and part of His nation with all the blessings that goes with it. I look forward to sitting down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wouldn't it be an honor? The people's going to be different. I told you earlier, we read in Deuteronomy, God told them. When they made the covenant, Rudy Raines, God told them, if there was only a heart in you, that you'd keep my word. They didn't have it in the heart. That's not going to be true under the new covenant. Notice what it says back in Jeremiah 31. Look at what he's going to do for the people. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, before I go any further, who's the house of Israel under the new covenant? All the saved. That's the house of Israel. What's he going to do? Verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I'll put my law in their inward parts, and I'll write it on their hearts. Now, would you look up here at me just a minute? In Exodus, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, what did he write the laws on? On tables of stone. They were written outside the heart. But under the new covenant, when God saves a sinner, it says that He would write His laws on their what? He'd write on their heart. Then they'd have a heart to obey the Lord and to follow the Lord. They didn't have that under the old covenant. As far as under the new covenant, the people are different because when you trust Christ, He writes His laws on your heart. Can I tell you something? Only God can write on the heart. Think about it. God's the only one who can do that. I can't write on your heart. Boy, God can. And you know what? When He writes on your heart, you're changed forever. When He writes on your heart, you're changed forever. You don't have to take someone that's born again and force them to want to obey the Lord. When someone's born again, God writes His laws on their heart, and they want to obey the Lord. I've told you before, we all have wonders. He changes your wanter the day that you're saved. I talk about the benefits of salvation being eternal life, and we talk about all these different doctrines, and people say, well, if I believed that, I'd sin all I want to. I would if God didn't change me. He changed me the day that He wrote His laws in here. And in my heart, this is how you know you're born again. In my heart, I have a desire to follow, obey, and please my God. And everyone that's truly born again has that. It's right here. Now, I'm going to tell you what I got a big problem with. There's too many people today that have professions of faith in Jesus Christ that show no evidence of the law written on their heart. None. They don't have a desire to obey the Lord. They don't have a desire to please the Lord. They don't have a desire to serve the Lord. None of them. And you know what the Bible calls it? It's a dead faith. Don't try to convince people that those folks are saved. Matter of fact, you don't know the heart anyway. You can't convince one way or the other. I'm going to tell you one thing. Someone that's truly born again under this new covenant has the laws written on their heart. They want to obey. For crying out loud, you don't have to offer to give away a bicycle to get me to come to church. I want to come to church because I want to hear about my Redeemer and sing to Him and worship Him. He puts that, what's a characteristic of God's sheep? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And another's voice they will not follow. Under the new covenant, He writes His laws on your heart. You know something else He does? Look at Jeremiah 32. I'm going to be able to get this in a timely manner. Man, these things are awesome.
Jeremiah chapter 32. Again, talking about the new covenant. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. How long does an everlasting covenant last? Didn't say a 6-month covenant or a temporary covenant. Be an everlasting covenant. My folks, the new covenant is an everlasting covenant. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. Can I ask you guys a question? Do you have God's fear in your heart? You know what fear means? I have a respect and a reverence for the things of God. There's things that people do and say that cause me to cringe. Because I have a respect for God and His Word. Everybody born again has that in their heart. Do you see what he's saying? The people's different. Under the old covenant, they never had that. Now, they had people that were saved under the old covenant. I'm saying that. But under the new covenant, everyone will know Him. And under the new covenant, the laws will be written on their hearts. And God's fear will be put in their hearts. You know why people don't believe in eternal security? Because they think it's a sin all you want to doctrine. And they should be able to look at you and believe eternal security by the way that you live and the way that you talk and the things that you don't do and see that that couldn't be true. Problem is, there's too many people that know the doctrine of eternal security that live in open, unrepentant sin. And not everybody can quote that doctrine as saved either. He writes His laws on your heart. He puts His fear in your heart the day that He saves you. And when you do that to someone's heart, you're going to see a change in their outward conduct. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel 36, we won't turn there, it says, I'm going to take away that stony heart, and I'm going to give you a new heart, and you will keep my statutes and my judgments. Because you love Him. See, it's a different reason. Because you love Him. Because of what He's done for you. Because He saved you. He puts them in here. Now, can I show you one more? Boy, I forgot I could go plumb to one today. Starve you plumb to death, wouldn't it? The people's going to be different because under the new covenant, He's going to do a heart change. You're going to get a heart transplant today, He says. And you do that, you'll see a change on more in someone outwardly. If you don't, I want to tell you something. If someone comes in front of a church, altar, whatever, and makes a profession of faith in Jesus, and you don't see a change in them, there's something wrong with it. That's a true profession in Jesus Christ will produce a change. The Bible teaches that. If it don't produce a change, there's something wrong with it. Number two. Oh, I couldn't wait to get to this. Jeremiah 32. People's going to be different. They're going to have the law in their heart. I read by something in verse 40, and I bet you missed it. Of chapter 32 of Jeremiah. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. Now, wait a minute now. It says God won't do what? Under the new covenant, His people under the new covenant, it says He will not turn away from them. Is that true? Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Same thing just said in Jeremiah. But that's not what I'm after. We already know that. Here's the part we miss. I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. That's the part people miss. Under the new covenant, those that are truly born again, they will never depart from God. They will never depart from Him. That's what it says. It says, I'm going to put my fear in their hearts. They shall not depart. And I will never turn away from them. That's what it means to be saved. That's what she means to be saved. That wasn't true under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, they departed from that. How many times did they depart from Him? Over and over again they departed. They departed before he got down off Mount Sinai. They departed, you can read all the way through the Kings and the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, Judges, where they departed constantly. And God would bring judges. They'd come back and renew the covenant. But under the new covenant, Timmy Bailey, they won't depart because he's going to put his fear in their hearts and write his law on their hearts. And they, because of that, will not depart from him. What I want you to do is take the word backslide, look that up in your concordance, and see the number of places that is mentioned in the New Testament. Would you do that for me? See how many times the word backslide, this is your home study, see how many times the word backslide is mentioned in the New Testament. And then you come and show me where the term backslide is used in the New Testament. You know why it is? You know why they backslid out of the Old Covenant? I'm waiting on a word that starts with a C. It was conditional. It was based on their, it was based on them doing. The New Covenant is an everlasting covenant where he does the heart change. You won't depart from it. It's an everlasting covenant. You know what about the? You know a little something about the new covenant? I'm going to have to finish it now. Is that okay? I still got 5 minutes. I'm going to finish this message, all right? I can't stop here. They wouldn't depart from him under the new covenant. Now, y'all thinking to yourself, I see a lot of people do it. You do see a lot of people do it. The Bible says several things about those people that do that. 1 John chapter 2 says, they went out from us because they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that they might make manifest that they were never of us. Hebrews 10:38 says, if ye draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in thee. But we are not of those who draw back, but of those who believe unto the saving of the soul. Some people have a profession that's a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. Some people miss heaven by 6 inches. They've just made a profession, but there's been no genuine change of heart. Hebrews chapter 3 says, beware lest in any of you dwell an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. One of the evidence where an evil heart is made manifest is a person completely turns their back on the things of God. Did they lose it? No, their heart was evil from the beginning and never was changed. Evil heart of unbelief. Now, the new covenant, and it won't take me long, the new covenant is going to be different. The old covenant was what kind of covenant? It starts with a C. It was conditional. The new covenant is a covenant not based on the law. The new covenant is all based on grace. It's a covenant of grace. Y'all have heard the word used before in the book of Romans. You're not under the law, you're under grace. That's two different covenants. Now, in Jeremiah 31, I want you to notice the I wills here, and then we'll start winding down. Jeremiah 31. Everybody notice the eyes here. Verse 31, behold, the day comes, says the Lord that... Now, stop. Here's what I want you to do to help me. Every time we come to I will, you say I will with me, okay? You ready? Let's just begin at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord that... make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. But this, verse 33, is the covenant that make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart and in their inward parts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. It's gone. I read four I wills there. It didn't have one if that I read. You know why you didn't have no, it didn't say I will if? It says I will because the new covenant is an unconditional covenant. It's not based on your works. It's based on the sovereign grace of Almighty God. That's what she's based on. You don't slide out of the new covenant because it's an unconditional covenant. It's based on God and His grace. They're different. One's a covenant of law. One's a covenant of grace. Does anybody in the house know what grace means? Unmerited favor. It's not you. And not your works. That makes you a part of this covenant. It's the grace of Almighty God. Oh, God's people see it. Now, I want to tell you what the problem is today. And if you can see this, I pray that you can. You know why there's so many different places of worship? You know what the difference really is? Places try to make the new covenant a conditional covenant like the old one. They're mixing the old with the new. And you know what? You can't mix the old with the new. That's why the bottles burst. It won't fit. There's no place for it. One's a covenant of grace. One's a covenant of law. Well, I'd sin all I want to, but He changed my heart under the new one. I'm obeying for a different reason. You know why people want to keep you doing good works to keep you? You know, does this sound like I don't believe in doing good works? Sure do. And I said you will under the new covenant. But you know why they want to make it doing good works, keeping you saved? So they can keep you serving out of fear. You do it or I'll throw you to hell. I'm telling you, do it because you love the one that saved you. A lot of difference there. Never make it under the other view. Never make it. Folks, I present to you a way this morning that's all Jesus. The new covenant is all Jesus. Jesus at the Last Supper said, behold, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins. Under the old covenant, there was many sacrifices. Under the new covenant, there was one. Jesus made one offering, and by that one offering, He put your sins away from ever. And He also says that your sins and iniquities, He will remember them no more. He doesn't charge my sin to me. All of my sin was charged to Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. All of it, they're gone. And He remembers them no more. You don't have to go back and confess your sins that you committed back before you were saved. People do that all the time. What sin, God would say? That's gone. Behold, the new covenant. Vastly different from the old. One's conditional, one's unconditional. One Israel is all saved. The other Israel is not. One based on the law, the other based on grace. Did it bless your heart this morning? If nobody else did, but I'll tell you what I enjoyed at today. This is what the new covenant is. Wilt thou be a part of the new covenant? Wilt thou be a part of the new covenant? If you're here this morning, you're lost. You think, boy, Jeff, that sounded good. My sins and iniquities, He'll remember no more. Change my heart. Give me a new one. Put my fear in His heart. Make me a part of Israel and all those blessings of a future kingdom under a perfect king in a perfect body. Does that sound good to you? You got to trust the king. You stand by faith. That's how you stand. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the thief did. That's what the publican did. And that's what you need to do. A lot of you have heard the promises of that God will forgive you for your sins and give you everlasting life if you trust Jesus as your Savior. You know the promise, but you've never trusted Him. Never have. What are you waiting on?
waiting on the flashing light. God gives you His Word. And He asks you by faith to trust Christ. Won't you do that today?